If you don't have an email list, then you don't have a direct line to your customers. Reaching your clients, audience, supporters, and fans with the right message at the right time in the right place becomes easy when you've got a strategic email list in place. My email list is the number one way I drive profits in my business. And major bonus here, it's a lot easier and way more fun than you might think. That's why I'm teaching a free live workshop all about growing your email list called From Zero Subscribers or Zero Strategy to an Engaged Email List That Lasts. I'll show you how to kick off your email list building strategy with no fear, because I know it can be scary to start something new in your business. Save your virtual seat at growanemaillist.com. Inside of my free live workshop, you'll learn why email marketing is 10 times more effective than posting on social media, my secret to sending out weekly emails without adding a ton of work to my plate, my best tips for getting people to hit subscribe, and what to actually say to them to convert them from subscribers to paying clients and customers. Save your seat now at growanemaillist.com. That's growanemaillist.com to get started with an email list strategy that drives real results. I'll see you at the masterclass.
Tell them what's going to happen 5 minutes from now and then 5 miles down the road from this. And like tension makes everything interesting, right? It makes music interesting. It makes art interesting. So that's going to make your storytelling interesting too. If you can do that, have that tug and that back and forth.
Hey, my name is Jenna Kutcher, and I am obsessed with all things business, marketing, numbers, and helping you to navigate both the messy and the magical seasons of this thing called life. I'm a small town mama who took a $300 camera, grew a successful photo biz, and now I work from home and run a 7-figure online business. I teach you the tried and true secrets to building a career you adore. Shy away from the real talk? No way. Money, hardship, growth, loss, and marketing are all topics we discuss here. Think of this as your one-stop shop for happy hour with a gal pal mixed with business school. Pull up a seat, make sure you're cozy, and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Gold Digger Podcast. Between writing speeches, analyzing data, crafting social media copy, and getting you research, what can't AI do? Well, it can't build relationships with your unique personality. That's what. Ashlyn Carter is the premier expert for copywriting for creative entrepreneurs, and she is about to give us the 411 on both the capabilities and the limitations of AI in crafting compelling and impactful messaging for your business. As a founder and CEO at Ashlyn Writes, she's dedicated to providing services and curriculum to support creative small businesses so that they can get paid for their artistic endeavors and work from a place of rest doing what they love. Ashlyn's focused on helping you leave a legacy with your story, leaning into your calling, and building a sustainable creative business. And she's going to help you stand out in a saturated market using your words. Now, I have personally worked with Ashlyn as my copywriter for years upon years. In fact, she was on the Gold Digger Podcast way back in 2018 on episode number 6, where we talked about how to pack a punch with words. Now, before we dive into our conversation around how AI is changing the copywriting industry, I have to share with you a free class that Ashlyn has coming up. It is called the Copy Kit Clinic, and she's going to walk us through how to build our own crush and convert packs of personality-packed sales copy snippets. If you are someone who is afraid to sell using your words, or you do not know how to write sales copy, this is for us. In this free workshop, you'll join a live co-working session where you'll write conversion-ready copy, aka copy that sells, without sounding fake, annoying, or like a ChatGPT word salad. You can save your seat for this opportunity at jennakutcher.com/copywriting. That's jennakutcher.com/copywriting. Join Ashlyn's free workshop. I am so excited to be there as well. And now, without further ado, Ashlyn, welcome back to the Gold Digger Podcast. Okay, real talk. Are skinny jeans out or are they in? My friends and I continue to have this debate, and it just goes to show that trends come and go and come back again. And the same goes for marketing strategies. Like, who can even keep up? Luckily, HubSpot makes it their job to keep marketers on trend and on track to hit their goals. Their 2024 State of Marketing Report is an all-in-one guide for everything happening this year and how marketers can best approach it all. HubSpot surveyed more than 1,400 marketing pros across the world and curated the top trends they're thinking about. Sure, there's AI, but there's honestly so much more. The report covers everything from increasing awareness and engagement to ensuring privacy and boosting efficiency and growth. This report will give you all the info you need to shape your strategy for the year and keep on winning into next year. So friend, do not get caught hopping on an old trend. Visit HubSpot.com/state of marketing to get your free copy of the report today. That's HubSpot.com/state of marketing. I have the perfect person on the show to ask a question I've been dying to know. Ashlyn Carter, is AI ruining the copywriting industry? Yes or no?
So many feels on this. I think AI is going to eat mediocre copywriters for breakfast.
What? Let's go. Okay. Diving in. Let's talk about this. There is so much chatter out there about ChatGPT and all of these things and all of the industries it's crushing the most. But I feel like there is so much fear around this copywriting piece. What's happening in this world?
Okay, well, first, I want to like validate concerns that people have. I remember when ChatGPT first came out, it was what, 2022 now? I mean, put my head under the sand, 2 a.m. staring at the ceiling, like my business is over. I have ridden the wave. But I think what I realized is you can either surf with the wave or like let the wave completely crash on you. So I started playing with the tools more and more and more and just getting acclimated with them. And I use AI all the time. I use it every day. I think a good copywriter can beat the bots, can beat AI generated copy. I think somebody that's educated enough on copywriting or somebody that just knows a brand's voice can smell a ChatGPT word salad from 10 feet away, but it serves a place. I think it's a lot like coffee. Some people need a shot of espresso and they're good. Some people want to be hooked up to the IV of coffee and use AI all day. It's good too. Like we all have our ways of interacting with it.
Yeah, I love that. And I think sometimes it's like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Preach. And I think that for so many people, when there is so much fear around something like AI, I think it's brilliant how you leaned in and you're like, let me just see what this is about. Let me see what it can do. Because that can remove fear in and of itself of like, well, this is okay, but it's a starting point. This isn't what I would put up on my website, right?
Yeah, it's like a good junior bot in your business. Think about it like a little assistant. I'm like somewhat of a Taylor Swift historian. And there's that line she has like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. If you put dumb prompts in, it's going to spit out trash. But the more that you, it's a Lamborghini. These language learning models are Lamborghinis if you can drive it that way. So if you can give it and feed it the right prompts and help it finesse your copy or use it as like a sandboxing tool, that's my favorite thing to do. Like ideate and just come up with stuff and think about, you know, 90s references that I've never used because I've completely forgot about it and Google failed me. And that's where it can just be dynamite for your business.
Yes. Okay. So for those who are newer to you, Ashlyn's no stranger to the podcast. In fact, I was just laughing to myself because Ashlyn was on in the first round of interviews I ever conducted. Vintage. She was the OG guest. And I told her, I think I've gotten a little bit better over the years in terms of interviewing. But you and I have walked through so much life over the years. Ashlyn has been our conversion copywriter for our team. We've grown babies alongside of each other, been lifelines in very pivotal times in one another's lives. And one of the things that has been so cool is that we kind of went back to our roots in a lot of ways from our team standpoint, getting back into the conversion copywriting category and utilizing Ashlyn. So she's like our guru when it comes to copy. But one of the things that I was thinking about when I was thinking about this episode is that so many people become entrepreneurs because they love what they do and they want to sell it. And like the idea of selling something they love is just like so novel. And yet all of a sudden they find that they have to be a social media expert. They have to be customer service and they have to become a copywriter. And I would say that if I asked my listeners to raise their hand, there would be a great showing of hands of people who do not resonate with this idea of writing copy. And so let's start at the very beginning of if somebody is listening to this and they're like, what is copy? And like, am I a copywriter or how do I even connect with that term? Where do we start?
Okay. So the way I define copywriting is it's the art and the science of words that coach a conversion. This is splitting hairs a little bit, but track with me, listener. I think that content writing is different from copywriting. When I think copywriting, I'm like, let's go, baby. Let's sell. Let's get the click. I'm talking math. I need to be able to measure it. So that's what copywriting is. And good copywriting, as it should be, is kind of expensive. So you're basically running a little mini media business as an entrepreneur these days, right? Like, we're having to shill out content and words at light speed. You're your own media house. You need to know enough to be dangerous about selling. I've connected it to Shark Tank before. Like, any episode you watch, they get in there, they can say their pitch, and they can tell you their numbers. And I, for so many years in my business, I was like, numbers, I can't. I don't want to do it. I'm not a math girl. I went to math coach class since fourth grade. No, it doesn't matter. I'm the entrepreneur. I have to be able to tell you that in the same way you have to be able to sell me on why you do the way you do it differently or better than somebody else, especially if they do the same thing. And especially if they charge less, you have to be able to tell me that as the owner. And that is copywriting. And so I firmly believe it's one of those things you just have to know enough to be dangerous about, even if you don't consider yourself a writing person, because it is a paramount business skill.
Yeah. And I got to shout you out because I love writing. Like, I really enjoy content creation and content writing. But there is a true science and art to selling with words. And I think that is where we are getting so confused as entrepreneurs, because we're like, yeah, I can create content and I can tell stories. But the minute I go to sell something, I get clammy. I don't know what to say. I focus on the wrong things. I talk about the features. I forget the stories. Like, everything gets so murky. And I think that is why so many of us are so afraid to sell. And so let's start talking a little bit about how we can use words more strategically to sell and to kind of eliminate the fears around talking about what it is that we're selling.
I love it. Okay. One thing you can always keep in mind and remember is that you usually sell like you like to be sold to. So I'm an extremely you know this about me. I'm just like, I don't like the fluff. I want the rational. Like, I'm probably a slow, not very risk-taking decision maker. And so that's how I like to be sold to. Tell me my ROI, show me exactly what's in it. And so I sell like that. On my team, head of our agency is Sarah. Sarah wants the feels and the story, and like, that revs her up so much. So if you can just remember, if people ask me all the time, do people still read online? Yes, people read long copy. They don't read boring copy, and they don't read copy that they can't work through and find the little dog whistle in there that speaks to their buying style. Predominantly, there's about four buying styles, and people are looking for different things. So when you've got that long form sales page, you've got the FAQ, you've got the story, you've got like all these different elements on it. Your mom is maybe reading every single word, but other people aren't. And so if they're able to sift through the message or through the whole launch campaign and find those elements that pull their heartstrings, they're going to connect with it. So that's like one thing I just want everybody to keep in mind when they're writing. I think that helps you not be so hard on yourself. Just remembering like, yeah, there, you've got some blind spots. You probably need to use some sort of a messaging framework or copywriting framework that can help you remember to fill in all the little different paint by number pieces.
Yes. Oh my gosh. This was such a huge eye-opening thing for me. I remember years ago having a conversation with my friend Dean, and he was saying, because I was like, oh, I love to paint the possibility. Like, I am a possibility painter, like in the way that I work, in the way that I sell, like that is what I do. And he was like, I run away from my past. Like, I want to run to like a totally different future, but more than the future and the possibility, I am running away from things. And I was like, wait, what? And I like realized that like all of my marketing was just painting possibility.
Yes,
and like all of his marketing was like running away from the pain, right? Mm-hmm. And it was such an eye-opening realization of just like you were saying, that like so many of us are likely selling the way we like to be sold to, but we're missing the other types of buyers. You said there was like four different types. Can you kind of just walk us through what we should be thinking about when we're talking about copy that sells?
Yes. Okay. I have kind of silly names for them, but they correlate. I have a quiz for it. If you can't figure yours out, There's a quiz for it, but there's one type that I call her sassy and strategic. She wants the 411. She wants the information. She wants the tables that outline everything. Then you've got the poised and the polished, and they want a little bit more of the forecasting. They want to know, okay, when I click that, this is your like risk averse. When I click that button, what exactly is going to happen? Can you walk me through all the next steps? Like, I'm terrified to do this. I need to know everything that's going to happen in what sequential order. You've got the you. It's funny. Natalie Frank reminds me of this too. The kind of person who's like the paint the big picture. This is like a classic visionary. It honestly, when you're talking, I think it works well for you. I've talked with a mutual contractor before about how you're just such a natural marketer and storyteller. And this is it. And I think a lot of your audience connects with it because look, you market to other visionaries who want that, like they have this mark they want to make on the world and you help them see that and forecast it. So that's another type of buyer you have, is the one that has this big, hairy, audacious goal that they want to do, and they want you to help them forecast how to get there. And then you've got the people person, the person that's like, how does this help me love others? How does this help me serve my people? Like, they are so hyper focused and aware of that. So those are kind of, and it's based off of like the different types of like thinking styles, if you've done any research on that. And I studied that when I was in corporate marketing. And then when I started copywriting all the time in my own business, I was like, wait a minute, this is actually really similar to pulling those different levers. And it makes sense because all copywriting really is applied psychology.
Ooh, yes. Okay. When it comes to content creation, you either do it because you love it or because you know it's a powerful business tool. Now, either way, it takes a ton of work. Whether you're building your website from scratch or struggling to manage payments, you need Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate one-stop shop that's been my go-to for almost a decade. Yes, nearly a decade. It's designed to help creators and entrepreneurs build thriving online businesses with steady recurring income. Whether it's blogging, coaching, or podcasting, Kajabi makes it simple to transform your passion into profitable online courses, exclusive membership sites, and so much more. Over the years, Kajabi has been my rock, from hosting my signature courses like the Pinterest Lab to handling transactions without taking a single penny of my money. That's right, you get to keep 100% of what you earn. With Kajabi, you get powerful analytics, simple payment options, effective email marketing tools, and beautiful website templates that you can customize. And here's a little secret. You don't need a massive following to earn a great income. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi who are making six and seven figures with less than 50,000 followers, and you can be one of them. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/goal. That's kajabi.com/goal. Join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion today at kajabi.com/goal. Gold diggers, we all know the B2B landscape can be a bit complex. From lengthy buying cycles to complicated decision-making processes, reaching your target audience can be tough. But I found a solution tailored just for you. LinkedIn ads. A whopping 79% of B2B content marketers say LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. That's because with LinkedIn ads, you're not just casting a wide net and hoping for the best, you're strategically building relationships and driving real results. We're talking about a platform with over a billion members, including 180 million senior level executives and 10 million C-level executives. You are networking with the actual decision makers. And LinkedIn's targeting and measurement tools are specifically designed for B2B marketers, meaning you're not wasting time or money on irrelevant leads. In fact, in the tech industry, LinkedIn ads have been shown to generate 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend compared to other social media platforms. Using LinkedIn ads allows you to stay ahead of the curve when it comes to industry trends and developments, whether it's finding the perfect partner for a collaboration or uncovering new opportunities for growth, LinkedIn can be your secret weapon. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. Go to linkedin.com/goal to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/goal. Terms and conditions apply. So now that we're kind of thinking about this, and people are probably like, oh my gosh, I might be like a little lost, or I don't even know how to reach all those different people. Let's bring AI back into the picture.
Okay.
How are you integrating AI into your copywriting process? Like, what does that even look like? Because I know you've said, like, I have ChatGPT open as a tab all the time. So how are you kind of leveraging this tool with what you already innately know and do?
Okay. I tell our students this and I do it innately. So I think the first step is I have my, I'm going to call it my mise en place. I hope I'm saying that right for our chefy types. But like I have my set ready to go. I always know my goal when writing anything. What is my goal? What is my message? What is my positioning statement? What is the definition for this offer? Like I know what I want to say. The next piece of the puzzle is having your ear to the ground and understanding what your audience needs to hear back. So what exact words, how are they describing this problem? What do they think about this problem? What do they know about this problem? What are they doing about this problem? Like that awareness of your audience. And then the last piece is some sort of framework or order to put the different messages in. So I have those three things ready when I'm writing something. Then I usually go over to ChatGPT and I'm like, tell me, okay, so let's start with voice, for instance, how I'll throw some copy in there, maybe that I like, or rewrite this in the brand voice of Betches or Gary V or Goop or some kind of brand to pull out tonalities. That's like one thing I always like to play with is say this in the voice of somebody else. One of my favorite copywriting exercises, just get me out of my dang way. Get me out of my head. Say it another way. So I use it for that a lot. I'll use it kind of like a hyper thesaurus. Write this with more power. Write this with more wit. Write this with more persuasion. So I would say I would use it in the sandboxing, like early ideation period. And then I go back and draft with my three pieces. And then I'll use it in the polishing and the editing phase to kind of give me more ideas. So it probably bookends, now that I'm saying this, it kind of bookends my copy creation process.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. I love this. I was telling my team the other day, I was listening to the book Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. And he was talking about how like he creates a vision the first 10%, his team does the next 80%, and then he reviews the last 10%. And it kind of reminds me of that. In that it's like, help me get the vision. Now I'm going to do the work and then help me review and make sure that like the end goal is met. I mean, it's similar. And I think we could draw that similarity there. But I love so much that, again, there's like the human aspect of it. It's a helper. It's an assistant. It's not meant to do the work. And one of the things that I kept thinking of is when you were sharing that is that so many people go into ChatGPT, they'll type in a prompt and they will just take that initial output and not prompt it any further. And like, yes, the first output is terrible usually. Yeah. And that's the stuff that people can sense and see. And they're like, oh, ChatGPT, gross. Yes. And so even just continually zhuzhing the prompts totally transforms the output. And it creates an output that no one else could really replicate unless they followed the exact same prompts. And I feel like that's where we're seeing like, oh, duh, that's AI, because people are just typing in one input and getting one output and that's it.
Oh my gosh, mic drop. That's exactly what's going on. You have to work with it. You have to treat it like an intern in your office who you would say like, okay, now do this, now do this. Like give it those specific instructions. Like I use it the past week, I've used it for YouTube outlining. I use it for that all the time. I'll throw it some ideas and then like it reworks it. I use it for meta description writing all the time. But yeah, all of these that you've talked about, I start out like I give it the 10%. I let it fly and then I like clean it.
I love
to give it my taste. Yeah.
One of the things that I think is so powerful, and I think you've taught me so much about this over the years, is just like the you-ness factor, the oneness factor that is in everyone. And when we are talking about something like AI, it is really easy to invite in that fear of like, everyone's just going to sound the same. And so let's talk about different strategies that you use to make sure that that oneness factor exists and that like it is being told in a way that only you can tell it, because I think people just have stopped writing because they're like, everyone can say the same thing, but we've forgotten that thing that we've talked about for the last decade and for our entire lives is that there is only one you.
Yes. And you have a monopoly on your story. Like, Lord in heaven knows, you have been copied and mimicked 15 ways from Sunday. Like, you have, like, anybody listening to this, like, you think it won't be you until it is. Like, you will be copied. You will be mimicked. If you have a good idea, expect it to be out there on the internet in some other form. So you have to hold on to the only true monopoly you have, and that's your story and your ability to articulate. But you only get that monopoly if you can articulate your story. And so learning how to be able, all the like sexy things out there, social media, marketing, PR, all that does is hold a mic up to the message that's already there. And you have to have that clean, clear, repeatable. You know it works when your audience can say it back to you. And until they can say it back to you, I would argue it's not clear enough. So that's the kind of stuff that, like, that's the magic that people who, you know, AI or not, people that are winning the attention these days, it's a win the attention, win the dollar world. People that are winning the attention have that clarity dialed in and that message clear.
How would somebody that's listening start to kind of become a better storyteller, or even know like what stories to tell when? Because, you know, I can often laugh that like everyone knows like the $300 camera on Craigslist story. It's been told a bajillion times. But like, that's not the story I'm necessarily telling when I'm teaching Pinterest or different things. And so how can people start to like understand like, hey, you could use AI, but like you also need to inject you, and the best way to inject you is with stories. How can people start to understand like where to put stories and what stories to tell?
Okay, that's a great question. I have 2 points on that. One, good storytellers are just good noticers of life. So if you can just remember that, like, I think story sounds like it can sound so intimidating because I think people assume it's some big narrative. A story can just be an anecdote, an aside, like a sentence. It doesn't have to be big. It can be, and we want the reality show moments of your life anyway. Like, that's the world these days. And so, you know, I have students say all the time, I'm so boring. And one said the other day in our membership, like, I just go to my kids' hockey practice and work. I have nothing to talk about. But you do. We just have to get you in the mindset. So that's like my little stance on story. Just one tip there. If you can write down one thing every day as like one thing that happened to you, that's, you can start training your brain to be a noticer of life. But then as far as your point about where to use it, there's so many different types of stories you want to have, like the throw rocks at the common enemy story. You want to have, you know, like there's all those, but I think let's boil it down. There's three that I think every entrepreneur should have back pocket for your whole business, but if you've got a launch coming up, have it about that product. Have, it's OAT, if you can remember that. So you want the T, you want to have the transformation of the testimonial story, whether it's your transformation with that or somebody else's. I want you to have the origin story. So like, that's your $300 Craigslist camera story, but like, how did, but see with that, people repeat it back to you. So that's when you know it's, but you, everybody wants to know the origin. How'd you get started? How did this come to be? And then the aha moment. What was the turning point for a lot of us where you realize, like, you know what? I want to do this with my life. Like, this is, I want to make a business out of this. Those are three stories that you're helping people see themselves in. So that's like just one place to boil it down. Very simplistic. See if you can come up with those. Maybe if you're listening to this in the next 7 days, those three little mini stories about your business, and tuck them into a brand messaging style guide in your business.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And again, you can even have AI help you with them when you start to give in the inputs. I think those three are so powerful. And I also just think that that is how we connect people to what we're selling. Yeah. And it's so interesting to me because, and this is an area where you've really stepped in. I mean, you are the expert in this area. Of like, it is so easy for me to know why I created things or how this system has changed my life. But it's often hard to like relate that, because when we create things, we as entrepreneurs get so fixated on the features, right? Like, yes. I will never forget going to look at a car, a new car. And they're like telling me about like this feature and this feature. And I'm like, I just need something big enough for two kids and two car seats. Like, you didn't ask me what I am actually looking for. You're telling features that add no value to my life. And I feel like conversion copywriting and the way that you do this allows people to see the end result and not get fixated on features that they don't know mean anything at the time. Let's talk about this. Let's break this down.
Yeah. You want to always have like 5 minutes, 5 miles, 5 minutes, 5 miles. Tell them what's going to happen 5 minutes from now and then 5 miles down the road from this. And like tension makes everything interesting, right? It makes music interesting. It makes art interesting. So that's going to make your storytelling interesting too. If you can do that, have that tug and that back and forth. That's a good analogy. We all have to watch that in our selling. It's like, yes, we're telling people, yeah, about the, how the AC works and the camera. And they're like, I just need this to fit into my life.
It's so interesting too, because I think that as creators, we care so deeply about the bells and whistles, but we forget to like tie them to what someone can expect or like what that actually means for them. And so I'll catch it even in myself where I'm like, I'm obsessed with this one feature that you can take advantage of, but it's like, well, wait, how, they don't even know they need this feature. So it doesn't add any value until they can see what the feature actually does. And it's just interesting. And let's talk about this for a minute, because I think sometimes people feel like they're a decent copywriter when it comes to just copy and content, like we were talking about. But then it's like the minute that they go to sell, they have no words. They don't know. What is that disconnect? There's some sort of disconnect with copy and selling.
I think it's this fear of sounding performative or just, you know, I like talk a big game. And then when it comes down to it, and actually selling, you feel like it's a judgment on your creation and your work. And every, I mean, maybe you've seen this. I feel like everyone will be like, oh yeah, girl, I'd buy that. Like sell that. Oh yeah, people buy that. But like the real game is, will they put their credit card information in or not? And that is like, it's scary. And it's kind of the true test of an offer. Is it clear? Does it overcome ambiguity bias? People don't buy what they don't understand. And a lot of times people are just honestly not really clear about what the thing is that they're selling. So I think all that, I think it's mindset that gets in our way.
Yeah.
Maybe it was so you that told me this. I have to keep up in front of me reminders of like testimonials. And like if I'm going into a selling period, I always have the story. Funny enough, I'm saying this now, the stories of how things have helped people. So I think mindset is it. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. One thing that I think is interesting, and I'm curious what you've seen, is like, what does AI not get well with copy? Because there's, you know, it's great. Like we use it a lot for like inspiration frameworks, like naming things, like different things like that.
Yeah.
But I think that there are some massive gaps. So like, what are some like blatant gaps in AI that like it can never take over the humanness that is us?
Okay, this is like flashback into my journal entries into that time when I was like, oh my gosh, I'm out. I got to go back to corporate. Okay, so the five things that I feel like I was like, you know what? The bots are good. They ain't that good. These are five things that I can do that it can't. First of all, finding a hook, nosing out a hook. That, I swear, I have played with not all of them, a lot of AI tools, a lot of the ones leading the market. I cannot find one that's good at finding, I had a journalism professor that would say like the hook to hang your hat on, like the repeatable one-liner. And David Ogilvy talked about, he's a famous old dead copywriter we should all study, so good. But he said like even in his whole career, he barely wrote 20. So I think it's one of those things that you just have to marinate in the offer. You have to launch it multiple times. Like you can launch without a hook when you're leaving money on the table until you figure it out. And that's like one of the most fun things to figure out as a copywriter. So that's one thing. And I don't think they can figure out a hook. You're a better storyteller, I promise you, than any of those tools. You're able to read a room and a robot cannot. So you have an emotional level that it will never have. You can apply wisdom to the situation. So you can look at what it's giving you and then connect it to your greater marketing strategy, your storytelling strategy, everything like that. And then you have the gift of creative problem solving and strategic thinking. And it cannot do that. So again, when it's going to spit you back out, like the other day, I think I threw up a prompt on Instagram about how it can help you write a quick newsletter. But like, you're the one that's able to look at that and strategically connect it to pop culture references, what's going on, to last week's email, all that kind of stuff. So those are the things I've not seen it. And I still think with voice, it like can get close, but your audience, my audience would totally know if you like sent out a purely AI written email. It'd probably be a funny like
test.
try. Yeah.
Find the I had it write something the other day. I was like working on this guide and it was so funny because it like spit something out. And then I was like, do it in Jenna Kutcher's tone. And it made me sound like a valley girl. Like I was like, do I really sound like this? But it was like so funny because it was like, can I train AI to be better at my voice? Cause this is not it. Like I would never speak that way or send it out in that way. It was just really funny to me because I was like, oh my gosh, I would die before I send this out.
Exactly.
As they gave it to me. It was so funny. Yeah. And I think too, again, it's like this is where it's this assistant. Like it can assist you, but it's not providing the end result. And that really eliminates the fear and it makes it fun. Like it is honestly so fun and powerful. So one of the things that I am curious about is like, what do you see in terms of the future of AI impacting like businesses and specifically like copywriting? Like, what do you kind of, if we were to have like a crystal ball, like what are we imagining a couple years from now in terms of AI?
Okay. I'm just going to say it and then it goes on record, right?
Yes, so that's right.
I could be extremely wrong, but I think my hunch is that it'll kind of bell curve. I think that's the right science word. So I think we're heading up. I do not think we're anywhere near the peak, but we're going to get to it. Like we're getting saturated. It's going to be everywhere. Everybody's going to be using it. Every tool's going to have it in there. And it's going to create a lot more noise. I think it's going to continue to separate the wheat from the chaff. We're going to continue, like there's more content. Thus it pushes good content to be even better content, which is a good thing. Like let's push us to create better work. But then I think we'll come down where people want, it's, you know how like everything kind of swung in the pandemic back to like, well, you've made sourdough bread, you know, like this return to our roots a little bit. I think it may go back there where like true creative work that was created without a single bit of AI and like it came from a slow productivity, like Cal Newport writes about, like that, I think it'll come back down.
I agree. I think the pendulum's going to swing and it's going to swing back. Like it's going to, because you can't create or emulate like connectedness. And I think that at the end of the day, that's all people are craving. And so I definitely think it's like the rage and the surge and it's exciting and it's new. And I think that at the end of the day, and I even think that's happening on social media right now where it's like everything became so systemized. And there are so many different like layers of strategy within social. And now it's almost like going back to the roots of just like showing things because you genuinely love them. And it's not, there's not a strategy behind it. And people are craving that. And so I kind of am with you on that. I agree.
Okay. You're so right. You know, it's interesting too. I read an article the other day. It was Vogue Business's article, like Gen Z broke the marketing funnel. It's fascinating. Yep. Even if you don't market to Gen Z, that like, I think 56% of them think brands lie. I think maybe we're millennials. So I think it's 48% of us think brands lie. So how interesting will that be if they crave connectivity? Like I like that phrase you said, they've proven to be a generation that loves like brand immersion and like look at all these pop-ups and user generated content. Like that is them. Gen Zers that are listening are probably like, well, some of this old millennial talk about us. But that is what you said is probably true. Like it could kind of track with that bell curve because they won't stand for it, honestly. Yep. Like that's not how they vibe. And so, yeah, that's cool. That's a good thought, Jenna.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where we go. I mean, this maybe we'll be listening to this a few years from now because Lord only knows when we recorded those first episodes, we never thought we'd be here today talking about AI. I mean, how crazy. Okay. So one of the final questions I have is just like, what are some strategies, like current day strategies that we can employ to separate our brand voice when there are a million people doing similar things and people emulating one another? How do we maintain a distinct brand voice, especially if we're utilizing tools like AI?
Okay. You've got to pop the hood and look at the like non-sexy stuff. So I think I call it your onlyness factor, but I said earlier, figuring out why you do the way you do, what you do differently or better than somebody that does the same thing, especially if they charge less or do the exact same thing you do. So I think figuring that piece out is first, because that's like your positioning statement. That's really all that is. So figuring that out, because then your voice is just the vehicle to carry that message out. I think when it comes to figuring out what your voice is, it always comes back to the three T's for me: tone, tempo, terminology. What are those for you? What are Jenna-isms? Like, that's going to be that. Okay, you said like the email that ChatGPT spit out. We know Jenna-isms because we know what your phrases are. And that's going to, it's like when you read a note with somebody's handwriting, you know if it's their handwriting or if it's a forged note. So I think that terminology is a big one. You can follow their tempo. So being hyper aware of what those are for you. And I mean, to bring it full circle, throw some of your copy into ChatGPT and ask it, tell what tone of voice do I use? Can you give me a list of 50 terms that I can throw in a lexicon library of like Ashlenisms in my writing? And then ask it, tell you a little bit about the tempo. What are the lengths of your sentences you naturally write? And then I tell people too, I'll give this last tip. If you're really having a hard time with the, like, you don't even have writing to throw in there, like a transcript of what you say, like just, yes, you talk like you probably write. So just talk and then yes, transcribe that, throw it in there, see what it says.
Yeah. I love this tip right here of like, it can give you so many insights into what you're already doing. And I was just doing an interview with someone who we were talking about like target audience. And I'm like, we talk about things like that, but like when people use even the word avatar, like I literally picture avatar and it's not
helpful. Oh my gosh, yeah, me too.
Yes. And I'm like, I don't like it. It's so hard for me to like resonate in that way. And so I think that if you are someone who is listening in and you're kind of at the beginning stages and you're like, I don't know what my voice is, I don't know who my ideal audience is, like all these different things, AI can actually help you get closer to that. Like you could say, let's say you see a creator or a business that's serving your dream clients, have AI dissect, like, who is it that Anthropology is appealing to? Tell me about that customer. And so there are so many different ways. And again, the output is only as good as the input that you're putting in. So don't be afraid to teach the AI on what you are actually looking for. But I love what you were just saying of like getting words and phrases and like having that help guide. And let me just tell you that even if you aren't there yet in terms of outsourcing, eventually you will be there. And having guides like that helps things still be you and your voice, even when it's not necessarily you touching the keys on the keyboard to create it. And so this is like your future self. 5 miles from now, you are going to be thanking yourself. And 5 minutes from now, you are going to start getting intel that is going to be invaluable. Look at that. I'm already applying what I'm learning from you.
Look at you go. I think you are one that probably, because yeah, I was like, outsourcing anything is for the big girls. And it does happen before you're ready. So yeah, I like that tip a lot. We're all still like, we want our thumbprint on everything. So it can be a really good tool for that.
Okay. Speaking of thumbprint, I'm so excited about this. You have a free class coming up. Tell us about it. Tell us where to go. We need to sign up. Let me tell you guys, if you want access to my copywriter, this is your chance to get it. So what are you going to be teaching?
Okay. I guess you have your third kid and you come back and you're like, I want to do a whole new class that I've never done before. Is that everybody's experience after coming back after having a baby? I want to teach a new workshop. I'm calling it the Copy Kit Clinic, Build Your Own Crush and Convert Pack, a personality packed copy snippets, because I want you to have like a ready, set, go deck of phrases and snippets and things that you can just pull out and you've got this arsenal ready to go. I find myself all the time needing to repurpose stuff. And if I can have like a ground zero file cabinet of little phrases, it's so immensely helpful to have copy that works when I can't and be able to not reinvent the wheel every single time. So it's going to be a live co-working session. We're also going to talk about using AI like we have today, but not sound like that ChatGPT word salad. So my hope is that you walk away from it with some phrases ready to go that you can turn around and use in your business in the next hour after watching it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I am obsessed with this. I'm so excited to take part in it. And I want a ton of gold diggers there because I feel like in order to rise above this AI world that we're in and to celebrate the things that make us us, having copy that backs it up is so critical. So if you want to join me in Ashlyn's training, you can go to jennakutcher.com/copywriting. That is jennakutcher.com/copywriting. I'm so excited, Ashlyn, to get to see more of your process and what you do and even just how you create this library of words that will help inspire you when you're stuck, or that you can hand off to somebody else and make sure you don't sound like a ChatGPT word salad. I just think it's such a brilliant idea.
Well, I love it. I'm like you. I'm a busy working mama. I need things that work. When I can't, I need systems. I want to be creative, but if I can have systems that are there that give me the freedom to then just go like have my days where I can play around, that's the ticket. So this is just a system that I'm going to teach you. So
I love it. Where can everybody find out more about you and connect with you and learn from you? Give me all the places.
Okay. AshlynWrites.com is my website. I have a YouTube channel linked over there too. I always tell people, don't get stuck looking at the blinking cursor. I've been in business for not as long as you, 8 years now. I've probably got a tutorial out there about the thing that you can't figure out how to write. So holla at us. If you can't figure out how to write something, we'll point you in the right direction. That's my website, and that's where our template shop and everything is.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ashlyn. Join us for the co-working session, jennakutcher.com/copywriting. So excited to build my own little personality packed sales copy snippets. I'm very pumped about it. And I guess I'll just see you there.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
I love that a part of my job is getting to have conversations with my friends. And Ashlyn and I have really grown up together over the years. She is someone that I trust with my copy and my words. And the fact that you get the opportunity to steal her for an hour and learn from her is so invaluable. So again, if you want to learn more from Ashlyn, go to jennakutcher.com/copywriting. Again, she has a free class. It's called the Copy Kit Clinic, where she's going to teach us how to build our own crush and convert pack of personality packed sales copy snippets. I mean, if that title doesn't get you excited, I need some sales copy snippets ASAP. Save your seat with me. Again, it's jennakutcher.com/copywriting. I am so excited to continue to learn more from Ashlyn and to focus on copy that converts. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Until next time, keep on digging your biggest goals. I'm over here giving you a virtual high five because you just finished another episode of the Gold Digger Podcast. Did that go by way too fast for anyone else? If you want more, head over to golddiggerpodcast.com for show notes and all the discount codes from today's sponsors. And if you're looking for a new crew of movers and shakers like you to bounce ideas and ask questions, be sure to join my exclusive community for gold diggers on Facebook. The link's waiting for you at golddiggerpodcast.com.
Please note, this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements, and individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in the episode. Your support through affiliate links or sponsored content helps us continue to bring you valuable content. Thank you for being a part of the Gold Digger community.
Hey, Gold Diggers. Lately, I've been getting excited to finish furnishing our new home, which is why I want to tell you about a brand that we absolutely love, which is Article. I have been a fan and a customer of Article for years. I'm always blown away by the curated assortment of furniture styles they offer. They have mid-century, modern, coastal, industrial, Scandinavian, and even boho designs. There is something for everyone, no matter your taste. In our last house, we had their sofa and leather chairs. At our lake house, we have their dining table and chairs. We also just ordered some of their outdoor furniture for our new patio. Like, if you can't tell, we are obsessed with Article. The quality and style are top-notch. Article's online-only model means that they can offer some great prices with fast and hassle-free delivery. Pick the delivery time that works for you, and they keep you updated every step of the way. Article's customer care team is also amazing. They're knowledgeable, friendly, and always there when you need them. If you're like me and you're itching to give your home a makeover, I highly recommend checking out Article. They believe in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their commitment to style, quality, and affordability, it's never been easier to transform your space. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/golddigger and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/golddigger for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.